And turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 1, verse 4. Are you ready? Can I get a witness on that? You ready to say amen?
Amen.
Bible says, on one occasion, while he, Jesus, was eating with them, his disciples, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you that you guide and direct us, that you guide and direct us today, and that you would meet us in this place, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about the baptism of the Spirit, Lord, and that you would come, as the word says, that you are a baptizer in the Spirit and fire, and that we would receive that this morning, Lord. You are mighty for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Wendy, we got these doors open. If he struggles with just hanging out and listening to this fabulous message that is coming, you can go right over there and he can scream his head off and that'll be fine. Pentecost, everything changed on Pentecost. Perhaps you come in here today and you're saying, man, I could use a change. I needed some change in the past several weeks. I don't know how many of you deal with spam, but my email life was becoming rather unmanageable. I had people trying to help me lose weight. I had guys trying to sell me solar panels, and I had, I think, every Russian woman wanting to get married was trying to send me messages trying to cultivate our relationship. I checked, and yesterday, I switched my email carrier. Actually, I got my other account, and I had 78 spam emails yesterday and only 7 quasi-real ones. I switched over. I have an email account under cityheightsassembly.com. And in fact, I can make 2,000 email accounts under cityheightsassembly.com. So if you want one, I'll get you one. And one of the cool things is it has this great spam blocker program, where I think the other one that I had was non-existent. So I switched over, and life is so good. I'm even thinking about putting my email back on my phone. I was just getting slammed all the time. I looked at my old one. In the last 8 days, I had 28 pages of spam emails. I'm like, oh, man, I need a change. Amen? Life is good with change. Today is Pentecost. It was a day of change for the church. The apostles and followers of Christ were baptized by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. There were 120 followers, and in that one day, Peter was baptized in the Spirit. A crowd was drawn because of all the commotion with the baptism and the noise and everything, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. Love to see that kind of growth around here. Love to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit poured out. I have a question. I've been talking to several of you. Some of you might not have a clue what I'm talking about, but I'm wondering how many of you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit before? All right. Okay, just checking. Wait, do that again. Nice and high. Okay. All right. We're talking about Pentecost. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is different than baptized in water. Okay? Baptism in water is a display. With the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is a display as well. The 120 believers grow to 3,000, and they are baptized because of this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God pours into these disciples and they are poured out for the kingdom of God. And so as we talk about Pentecost, and this is indeed a Pentecostal church, has anybody got a bulletin? Yeah, here we go. Every Sunday, we have our tenets of faith. They're right up here. And one of them right here, it says, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, according to Acts 2:4, is giving to believers who ask for it. And so as we come to Pentecost today, and we come to our Pentecostal origins, that we can indeed ask. We find our origins as the Assemblies of God in the Azusa Street revival that ran from about 1906 to 1915. Assemblies of God was founded in 1914, and in these years, and the years after the following, there were marked with healing, with holiness, with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a baptism of the Holy Spirit, as evidenced by speaking in tongues. Here, I've showed you the, this is actually the website. So if you don't do Facebook, you can still go to the website and hear the old messages. You can do that stuff, cityheightsassembly.com. And if you need an email with a great spam blocker, come, I'll hook you up with that. And but this is a list of the messages that I've been preaching on Pentecost. And we talk about the promise of power, the person of power, presence of power, and poverty of power. And so many of us sit here today in the poverty, the absence of power. And you could be thinking today, it says, you know, I'm not really comfortable with all that speaking in tongues stuff. Walter, how comfortable were you in that water? I'll tell you what, I'm looking at Alicia, man. She's not looking too comfortable. She's looking like she's freezing. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord will, look at her, she's still freezing. She's over there, she's got a blanket on. The Lord sometimes will move you out of areas of your comfort. See, I didn't want to change my email. I'm used to my email. I'm used to how everything works, the interface and all that stuff. And the biggest thing is on my old email, whenever I popped on it, the password would just automatically be remembered by Windows. And all I'd have to do is go click, click, and then move through 28 pages of spam. The new one, I don't know why, but it wouldn't, if somebody's a computer guy, it wouldn't remember my password. So I have to type it in, Pastor Bob. Now I find it so much easier to just type in the Pastor Bob and only have 8 emails to look at. How nice is God? See, God will move you out of your comfort into change and into transformation. He'll pour into you so that you can be poured out. Amen. Amen? So as we come to today's message, it is another bunch of P's, the presentation of power. We're talking about that for you today. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's talk about this. This is, I mean, I've been a Pentecostal preacher for 20 years now, something maybe 25, and so this is kind of a little 40 minutes of Pentecost. Acts 2, day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Amen. Pentecost is a day for change. Pentecost is a day to move from poverty of power to being a person of power. Amen? The difference is the presentation of that power that will come in your life by the Holy Spirit. This day is a fulfillment of promises made by God. Go back to Joel chapter 2, 28, made hundreds of years, 400 to 500 years before the time of Christ. God speaking to his children through the prophet Joel says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. The people of God, the people of Israel, the Jews, had been waiting for this fulfillment for hundreds of years. It was also a fulfillment of the promise given by Jesus, which we read a little while ago. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. He says, I will pour into you so that you can be poured out. Amen? So as you come to today, and as you think about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, God invests you with kingdom power for kingdom results. The change that we're talking about is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The first sign of this baptism is speaking in tongues, as we see there in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. We're going to talk about what speaking in tongues is in just a moment. After that, we're going to go through two more instances in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 19 where new believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they also spoke in tongues. It is the normal thing as presented in the Bible what accompanies the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you tracking with me?
Amen.
Okay, all right, good. We won't lose anybody. We did lock the doors in case anybody wants to run out. No, just joking. These believers, Acts chapter 1 talks about 120 believers. These believers, I don't know if they were all there in the upper room, some of them, all of them. They wanted this gift that Jesus was talking about. They waited for it. Jesus was ascended 40 days. After the resurrection. The day we're at is on Pentecost, 50 days. So they waited it for it maybe a week or more in that room waiting upon the gift of the Lord. These believers are baptized for a witness. God equips you for the kingdom. Perhaps today you'll be equipped. A picture of the gift. Told you I spend most of our time in Luke's writings, in Luke and in Acts. But I'm going to take one slide off of there and go into 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And there's a problem there. We're going to take a look at this. It says, follow the way of love eagerly and desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. We'll get there. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies, he builds up himself. But he who prophesies edifies or builds up the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church might be edified. Now, he's bringing correction to the church in Corinth, which is misusing this spiritual gift that we're talking about today, talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, talking about speaking in tongues. And Paul says that they, when you speak in this language, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1, he says that you speak in the language of angels. And this is this spiritual language, a language of the Spirit. And when you speak in it, your mind is not profitable. You do not know what you're saying because you are praying with your spirit. Paul tells us that our spirit is energized, is edified, is strengthened, is equipped. How many people think that's a good thing? Amen? It's kind of like spiritual steroids. You know, The Rock. What's his name?
Wayne Johnson.
Yeah, he was on some show, and he's got some earthquake movie coming out. I told my family I have the old earthquake, 1972, with Charlton Heston. And Joe goes, really, Charlton Heston? Come on, these old guys. But The Rock, you know, and he showed a picture of himself when he was 15, and he's Joe's size. And I said, Joe, you could be as big as a rock. He goes, yeah, if I used steroids for 20 years, I could be. And but spiritual steroids will build up your spirit. God will pour into you so that you can be poured out and you can be energized and have impact in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. He says, the problem in Corinth was that they were like in the steroid part. They were just like in the infield part, and they would have their services. There was no pouring out, just pouring in. And Paul even says, hey, your services are doing more harm than good. He says, it's not how you do it. He says, and you're going to do this. Go into your prayer closet. Go into your place of prayer. And get built up. And when you come to church, be ready to be poured out. Amen. When you're walking out there on the street, see Aaron, man, he's out there with his garage sale stuff, man, and he's putting out the spirit there as well. I've seen him talking. Lord always comes up. When you are praying in the spirit, when you're praying in tongues, what happens is you get spiritually equipped and you get spiritually tuned. Say, Lord, yeah, Lord, pour into me so I can pour out. Paul also says, I don't want to offend anybody here, that speaking in tongues is an entry-level gift. There are so many people, there have been a lot of abuses in the past that would see speaking in tongues as an end-all. No. It's like opening a door. It's like the first step. Paul says, seek the greater gift. And he says a greater gift than speaking in tongues is prophesying. Because you come into this setting and you see God wanting to move and to address a whole group of people. You'd be up here speaking in tongues, and all you're doing is building up yourself. He says, don't do it like that. Do it. He says, I want all of you to speak in tongues. He says later on, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you. But hey, in church, man, we're about something different. In church, you're coming geared up. You're coming poured in so you can be poured out. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you, I want to tell you how this works in my life. And as I was standing up there praying, I was praying in the spirit right up here. That's how I roll. Somebody else comes up, pray with them. And anyway, I told you several weeks ago, Pastor Paul and Ann and Lisa and I and Ed and Gail went to a preview of this movie called War Room, put out by the guys who did Facing the Giants and Courageous and Fireproof. And it was a great movie. It was a great movie. It's going to come out end of August. I recommend everybody go. Everybody go. We'll probably go as a group. It was great. And at the end, the guy came out and talked about the release of the movie, how it's going to work, and all this kind of stuff. And there was a lot of feedback and a lot of talking. And he was he had come before from Washington. Was that right? Do you remember where? And they said, oh, yeah, man, this crowd's a lot more pumped up than they were up in Washington. It was Oregon, okay. And he's talking. And we got there a little bit late, and we had to sit up front. So he's like two rows in front of us talking, addressing the whole thing. And as he's talking, the Lord is telling me he's going to ask a pastor to pray, and I want you to pray. And that happens often. Well, it's happened many times in my life. And I'm thinking in my head, he's already got some pastor picked out, you know. But it's like the Spirit comes, just kind of gives me a heads up and says, and an unction comes. And he says, I want a pastor that's right here. I just want him to stand up and pray. Man, it took me about 1 second to stand up. And then he said, okay, we're going to answer these questions, and then we're going to pray. And I sat down in a huff, like, man, I'm ready to go, buddy. And he says, well, maybe we just pray now. And I'm like, yeah, let's pray right now. And it has happened before. But there is an unction, like an anointing, and just this prayer just starts flowing and rolling. And it's a God thing. Amen. And what happens is in my life, And I would imagine God, that God, or I believe God has an individual plan for each one of us. But in my life, the spiritual language, speaking in tongues, private time, hooking up with God, gets me spiritually in tune so that I don't miss situations like that as much, shall we say, as I would. And I can't imagine doing ministry without it. And so, if you have not experienced this, you don't have to be in full-time ministry. You don't have to be Peter, 3,000 people getting saved. But it is for any who would ask. And if you have not asked, today's Pentecost. We celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You can get poured in to be poured out.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm talking more to Pastor Paul. All right. God has more in store, and that is what we are talking about today. So now we're going to move ahead. We're going to take a look at Acts chapter 10, and then we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 19. Last week, we took a look at Acts chapter 8, which was the move of the church into Samaria, which was about 5 years after Pentecost. Okay? We talk about here at Cornelius' house, which is in Caesarea Philippi, we're talking about 8 years after Pentecost. So we just did Acts chapter 2. Now we're forwarding 8 years into the future. 8 years ago was 2007, right? I don't remember what happened, but it's a while ago, okay? So it's just a couple of chapters, but it's a while in time. Acts chapter 10 is an incredible story. I'll review it for you in a minute. We're going to jump to the end at verses 44 through 48. While Peter, the apostle, was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished. That means circumcised, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. It's a big shift there. We're going to talk about it. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. God makes a way for the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10 is an incredible story. You should read it after church. Don't read it now, but read it after church today, tomorrow. God is moving in the life of this centurion, Roman centurion, the Italian regiment. He was an Italian Roman special guy. They had a bunch of foreign soldiers that would get their freedom from serving in the war, but not this guy. Cornelius was from Italy. He was a citizen. It's just a special regiment. And he and his family had become followers of the God of the Jews. Bible says that he was devout, that he was sold out, that he donated money to the poor, did all kinds of good stuff. And in fact, the Lord speaks to him through an angel and he says, "Hey man, your gifts to the poor, we've been seeing you. You've been doing good." And he says, "Send to Joppa for Simon Peter." And at the same time, God is speaking to Peter, saying, "I'm going to do this thing among the Gentiles." Now, back in chapter 8 of Acts, when they reach out to the Samaritans, now, they hated the Samaritans because they were half-breeds. And they were like, polluted Jews, But as the Lord said, "Okay, we're going to reach out to the Samaritans," they're kind of going, "Okay, we can roll with the half-Jews. That's okay. But no way can we do the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles are just foul and disgusting and just everything is bad about them." And so God is sending these visions to Peter saying, "I'm going to do something to the Gentiles." And he's going, "No way." And he sends it three times. And there's these unclean animals and stuff. And he's saying, "Eat them." "No, I'm not going to do that." And he says, "Don't call anything unclean that I've made clean." And he says, "I'm going to do something with the Gentiles." And so he says, there's some guys coming to you right now. And right then, man, there's a knock on the door. It's so cool. Read Acts chapter 10. It's a good book. Read the whole thing. It'll take good care of you. And so it says, yeah, man, hey, God sent us to come to Cornelius' house. We're all waiting. So they're waiting 3 days in prayer for Peter to show up. And Peter shows up and preaches, and right in the middle of the message, Holy Spirit. They believe and are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Before they're baptized with water. I mean, it's not a sequence that you got to follow. How did they know? They were speaking in tongues. God doing a brand new thing, reaching out to the Gentiles. They're poured in to be poured out. Amen. Got to pour into you this day, yes, so that you can be poured out. Amen. Amen. Okay, now we jump ahead another 12 years. This is 20 years after Pentecost. Okay, so we just jump a while. This is Acts chapter 19. Verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, which is the other place we're talking about that was having the problem with the spiritual gifts. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. I'll show you a map in a minute. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered, "No. We've not even heard there's a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism." He goes, "Oh, okay." Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people, John told the people to believe in the one who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. God will keep you moving. Now, Paul is on his second missionary journey. We talked about Cornelius' house. Here's Jerusalem, right? Here's Jerusalem right here. This is Caesarea. So we go from Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem to Caesarea, which was Gentiles. But it's this far. I mean, it's not very far from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 10. Then Paul comes along. Paul gets saved. Acts chapter 9, he gets saved. And the church becomes centered in Antioch, and he begins his journey. And he is just preaching. Going all over the place, and he is the apostle to the Gentiles, but he always start preaching in the synagogue, and they'd start getting saved, and people would quit going to synagogue and just hear Paul. They'd get mad, you know, and all the synagogue leaders would come after him, and then he'd start reaching out to the Gentiles. So he does this, and that's just his normal mode of operation. He's going all those places through Greece and all that stuff, and then he comes to Ephesus, and he finds some disciples there. They're disciples. He's like, well, they got some kind of quasi halfway step to Christianity. They got the baptism. They have the message of John the Baptist. And he said, John the Baptist's message was a message of preparation. It was a repentance. Turn from your wicked ways and prepare to hear the message of the Lord. And he says, you guys are stopped halfway. Let's get you moving. Yeah. And so they receive the message of Jesus and are baptized in water, and he lays hands on them, and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' ministry, baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered them all, "I baptize with water, but one more powerful than I will come. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That's Jesus. Jesus is our baptizer. Jesus is the one who was at work on Pentecost. All the way to the soundboard, all the way to the front. Paul describes the rest of the journey, and they believe in Jesus. Baptized in water, baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. I want to tell you how the baptism of the Spirit works in my life. I mentioned that I was up here and I pray in the Spirit up here. as I asked Pastor Carlos, I go, Pastor Carlos, you baptized in the Spirit? He goes, oh, yeah. Are you praying in the Spirit? He goes, half an hour every day in the morning, right? I pray in the Spirit all during the day. And I think a lot. We got a lot of stuff going on around here. And it can become overwhelming. I don't know how many of you guys get some real taxing jobs, you know, but it's just like you got 35 different things. Some of you moms have got to go to this, got to pick up this kid, got to go over here, do all this stuff. Ed played 2 gigs yesterday, man. He's like, well, I got to keep all these songs in my head. It can get pretty taxing mentally. Can I get a witness on that? And so I can be taxed mentally, and I will begin to then pray in the Spirit. And Paul says that my mind is unfruitful. And what happens is, I was thinking about how to describe this. It is like I step into the God zone. And my brain is turned off and is unfruitful. But my spirit is turned on and is energized. So I'm walking along. It's like the Lord says, hey, oh yeah. And my brain gets turned off, and my spirit gets energized. You're familiar with how to connect with the Lord. I trust, because we talk about it a lot. You come into the Bible. You open up the Bible, you know, and it's like, whoa, God, you're just speaking to me. Also, you connect with the Lord in prayer. Amen? We do prayer meeting every second Saturday. Trust you pray in your life. And in prayer, when I'm up here praying, I was praying, obviously, for Mary Jo, for her healing, for Sarah, for her hip, for Lori, for her class. It's like we're praying. We're making our requests made known to God. In prayer in my life, there's a lot of talking. And it's like these are two prongs of a stool, right, of your Christian life. You know, and you add that third prong in of praying in the Spirit, and it's all about listening. It's all about receiving. Amen. Again, I can't imagine being in ministry without being able to do that, but I can't also imagine just living a Christian life without being able to do that. You can do that, spiritual meditation, not Eastern meditation, but Christian meditating on the Word and kind of clearing yourself. But God gives us this, baptism. And he says, don't live without it. You want to live without this. I'm giving this for you. I'll pour into you so you can be poured out. Amen?
Amen.
All right. What's our time like? Oh, man, we're late. Are we okay? All right, okay, here we go. Now we're going to go back to Luke. Luke wrote Acts. Luke obviously wrote Luke. All right, we're going to talk about praying with expectation. Jesus teaching his disciples to prayer. Luke, the beginning of Luke 11 is the Lord's Prayer. Teaches how to pray, okay? It's a different version than Matthew, which much of you know. But we're going to take up at verse 5. It says, then he said, Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. And again, he has just completed the Lord's Prayer. And then he says, suppose one of you has a friend. Let me tell you about prayer. Let me tell you about how you pray. Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend. The friend might say, are you really my friend? It's midnight, buddy. That's what I say. But anyway. Lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. Put a little New York accent on that. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up. I can't give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he's a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus describes the process of prayer. Starts with a simple story. Hey, need some bread? Go ask your friend. Easy, right? Then he complicates it a little bit. And he says, well, let's just say you, instead of just going to your friend, you're going to go at midnight. And let's say the reason you're going at midnight is because you had a friend show up. Wasn't any of your fault. You had a friend show up. You don't have any bread, so you want more bread. Gets more complicated, amen? Sometimes life is complicated. Not such an easy solution. Friend just tell you, man, I'm busy, buddy. Come on back. He said, but if you keep on asking and you keep on knocking and keep on requesting, you'll wake your friend up, you shake him up, he'll give you the bread just to get rid of you. Do you catch that in the story? That if you're a pain, he's going to give in. And Jesus says, by this description, by this story, that we should be persistent and bold in prayer. Let's continue on, because he wants us to pray with boldness. He says, so I say to you, ask it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and him to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Be bold. This is how we should approach God, with persistence. Jesus tells us this story to tell us what we should do. Jesus does not tell this story as a description of God. God is not laying in a bed in heaven saying, get away from me, kid. You bother me. I want you to totally understand that. Because he says, he also does not give us a target, or he gives us a target of prayer, but the target is not fish and eggs and bread. Now, beginning of chapter 11, he says we can ask for our daily bread. But that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is seeking, asking, and knocking. And what we're supposed to be seeking and asking and knocking for is the Holy Spirit. And that we are to be persistent. We are to be bold. We are to come knocking and asking. We are to say, Lord, pour into me so that I might be poured out. We have a good God, amen?
Amen.
Now, today is Pentecost. And it is an opportunity for power. Seek, ask, and knock. Spirit baptism is a step, one step, not the final step, into greater things in the kingdom of God. We'll speak your, it will increase your spiritual life with a baptism. And this morning, God has been speaking to several of you. Because I have this for you. You are like the Ephesians. You are stopped. And I want you to progress. I want you to move on in your spiritual life. Lisa, you want to come up and play guitar? We are... we're going to pray. And I am believing that God is speaking to many of you this morning. Say, man, you've been walking out unarmed. I've got this other aspect of your spiritual life here for you today. And I want to give it to you. Some of you are saying, nah, I don't want to change. You're living with 28 pages of spam in your spiritual life. God says, I got something more for you. Ask, seek, and knock. We're going to do that today. Many of you said, yeah, I already got that. Cool. Very cool. You know what I'm talking about. But some of you, God is saying, you know what, child, right now, it's Pentecost. I'm ready to baptize. You got to ask. You got to seek. You got to knock. My question is that you? On Pentecost 2015, is this your Pentecost? Is this your day to change? I'm not asking anybody to bow their head yet. You can, that's fine. But perhaps the Lord is saying, this is your day. If that's you, I just want you to say, that's me. God's talking to you right now. Put your hand up, just say, that's me. Do we have to bow our heads? God's speaking to no one, not one person. Got one? Anybody else? Say, that's me. We're going to sing one song. You can stand with me if you would. I want to pray with you. Pastor Paul will pray with you. Maybe the Lord will start speaking to you right now, saying, this is what I got for you. That's you. We're going to pray. We're going to sing this song, and we're going to dismiss. Pastor Carl's going to be down there cooking up a storm for you guys, and ribs and chicken, all kinds of stuff. Don't leave. We got a great Memorial Day thing for you. We do it every Sunday. But we're going to spend, I don't know, maybe after this song, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, asking, seeking, and knocking. We'll be down there to eat with you. And nothing spooky, something spiritual. And a lot of hands went up and said, yeah, I got the baptism. I know what you're talking about. That could be you today. God's speaking to your heart. We're going to sing this song. When we get done, I'm going to pray and release you. And we're just going to seek the Lord for a few minutes. God is good. Amen?
Yes.
I want to pray, Lord, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you are baptized, that you baptized with fire and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would come this morning, Lord, tap people on the shoulder that we might indeed move into this gift, Lord, that you give so that we can be filled and poured out. In Jesus' name, let's sing. You want to pray? You want to ask, seek, and knock? I'm just invite you to just come on up here and we'll sing.